Hey everybody, today I want to talk to you about roofs, roofing, roofers. First question, is it roof or is it roof? I can't decide, so I do both. I don't know about you. I want you for a minute though to picture in your mind the quintessential roofer. What does that person look like in your mind who works in the roofing business? They're up fixing roofs or replacing roofs or putting on new roofs. What do they look like? Okay, does this person probably looks something like this guy, you know, bulky, strong man. So see that guy, see the picture you had in your mind. Now my question, and I want you to be honest, totally honest with me now here. I'm your pastor. When you look at me, do you think I look like a roofer? Well, it might surprise you to know that I once worked on a roofing crew. Some of you are saying, did they get a warranty on that roof? Good question. It was the summer, I was in college, and I was hired summer job in my hometown for my high school. I did some painting, but I also worked on the roofing crew at Greenwood Community High School in Greenwood, Indiana. And these roofs, I was on, or roof if you prefer, I was on there fixing roof. They're all flat roofs, it's asphalt. What I remember, it was hotter than blazes. This is hard, hot work. But for whatever reason, in my entire life, I have been connected to roofing. I don't know why, but I have. So I was up there fixing that, working on that, and other buildings too, not just that one, but that was the main one. And there's a lot to be done. So then I fast forward to our first church, which was in Glenwood, Iowa, a little town in southwest Iowa. And this is actually where our church met, on the square above a florist shop. We met with 11 people. That was our core group in this particular space a long time ago. And that's where we started. Then we moved to a spacious place. Now look here. This, you can see the little overhang, the roof needs some repairs. This was our space. It actually is a picture from those days. It says Glenwood Evangelical Free Church in the window. And so I, you know, was connected to that. The roof wasn't great in that place. You know, it needed some repairs there. And then keep going. This is the interior of it, which was, there were four rows of seven chairs. That was our entire church building. And then we got from that place that needed a new roof to a new place. This is from today, actually. It is now Stanley's Auto Body and Paint. This was our actual church building. It had a flat roof. And fortunately, I had roof experience, roof repair experience, because the roof there was very leaky, constant problems with this. I spent a good deal of time up on this roof trying to get it not to leak. Eventually, though, we bought a existing church building and moved into this. As the church grew from 11 people, it continued to grow. It took a lot of blood, sweat, toil, and tears to get there. But this also had a very steep roof, and it also had problems because it was an old building built in the 30s, which we purchased. This was not in the 30s. I'm not that old, but it was in the 80s. That was the story of my life. So I'm constantly connected to roof. Then we moved to Des Moines, and we got our first house. And here's our first house. Fortunately, the house on this roof was okay. And it didn't need any work, so, you know, praise God for that. However, the neighbor next door here, in this house here, they had raccoons in their roof, in their attic. And so he was kind of a do-it-yourselfer, so he decided he was going to catch the raccoons himself. And so he put some traps up there, and he left for the weekend, came back, and I'm out there cutting the grass, and I get this terrible smell I'm smelling. I go to next door, Mike's my neighbor, and I said, What is going on? And he said, well, I've trapped some raccoons. I thought they were all gone, but there is one that was left. And I went back, and to my great regret, I did not take a photograph. And it's one of the great regrets of my life. Because hanging from the kind of soffit underneath the roof was a dead raccoon like this. And it was stiff as a board. It smelled to high heaven. And it was the most hysterical thing. My friend Mike was from Arkansas. I made a lot of Arkansas jokes about this. But it was, again, this roofing attic, all these things. Just, it's constantly been a part of my life for some reason. One story with our house, we did get a new roof. And when we got it, the roofing crew was amazing and great. They had a unique thing. They actually had a Rottweiler that was on their roofing crew, and the Rottweiler carried a tool belt and actually climbed the ladder up onto the roof. And I was up there with them, and it was crazy. So that's my roofing story from that time. Keep going to our current house. We got a new roof there. I've been up there doing stuff, you know. I don't go up there much anymore, thankfully, gratefully. And then we come to today, and that is Valley Church. And if you notice, this is a photo of our church building with a roof. I've been up there, back there, seen that, done that. And guys, today I'm going to tell you, we're gonna raise the roof. We're not going to hit the roof. We're going to raise the roof. And today we're going to learn about the most, these are great stories and lots of great things to happen there. I've preached from rooftops in India and Brazil. I've done a lot of things with roofs, but the ultimate roof or roof story comes in the Bible. And it's the time when they ripped the hole in the roof, tore the roof off to get somebody to Jesus. And we've been saying through this series, we want to make room for God to move, make room to be the family, make room to grow the family. We all, I think, in our lives have some spiritual breakthroughs that we'd love to see happen. We'd love to see that happen in our own personal lives. We'd love to see that happen maybe in our family or friend. We got somebody in our life, in our community. We'd love to see that happen in Des Moines. This is what the mission of Valley Church is, to see this happen, to see these spiritual breakthroughs where people would get to know Jesus, follow him wholeheartedly, and then see this love for neighbor increase and grow. That's what our church has been about, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in order to have that happen, we're making room for God to work and see those breakthroughs, to be the family, to really connect deeply with one another, but also to grow the family, to reach others in our community. And I'm praying for awakening and revival in our midst. Why not Des Moines? Why not Valley Church? Why not me? Why not you? Why not us now? But in order to do that, we're going to have to be willing to take some extraordinary measures. That's ripping holes in the roof. As a metaphor. We're going to have to do whatever. What's the barrier for us coming closer to Jesus? What's the barrier for getting our friends closer to Jesus, getting family members closer to Jesus? And what we need to do is whatever that barrier is that keeps us from getting our friend to Jesus or ourselves to Jesus, we're going to rip a hole in the roof and get them to Jesus. That's what this message is about. And we come to this incredible passage of Scripture. It's recorded in both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Mark. We'll primarily be in Luke's gospel. We'll dip in a little bit to Mark's gospel. So come with me to truly one of the amazing stories. And it involves roofing. So here we are again. On one of those days, Luke's gospel, chapter 5, verse 17. On one of those days when Jesus is touching people's lives, getting involved in people's lives, doing good works in the neighborhood, sharing about himself and who he is and what he's come to do. On one of those days, while he was teaching, bringing God's word, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there in judgment of him, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea. They'd come from all over the place, not just the leaders, but all sorts of people. They were crowding into, we learn in Mark's gospel, it was into Capernaum, which is Jesus' hometown. And we've seen that. We walked through that in spiritual geographic spaces and places. And it says there, they'd even come from Jerusalem. So everybody is gathering in this one small village. And the Lord's power to heal was in him. You see, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he isn't just a great teacher, but that God himself uniquely inhabited. He took on human flesh. And that the full power of divinity was within Jesus. Not just a human teacher, fully God and fully human. And because of that, the Lord's power to heal was in him. He had the power to do this. And in Mark's gospel, it tells us he entered Capernaum again after some days, and it was reported that he was at home. So Jesus is dwelling perhaps in the house of Peter and Andrew, we saw earlier. Perhaps he had a place that he had temporarily in Capernaum, but he was there. And everybody's ringing the bell and say, Jesus is back home. He's back in his adopted hometown of Capernaum, and everyone was crowding there. So many people gathered together. I love this. So many people gathered together. Jesus, in his sojourn of 3 years, had this unique ability to just magnetically draw people to himself. When they heard Jesus was there, they just wanted to be near him. They wanted to have whatever Jesus was offering. And so many people gathered together that there was no more room. We talk about make room. There was no more room. There was no space. Not even in the doorway. Nobody could get into this house where Jesus was. So he was speaking the word to them, bringing words of life, of hope, of forgiveness, of joy, of love. And he was bringing that. And everybody wanted to hear it. Jesus has this magnetic ability to just draw people to himself. And ultimately he said, if I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. And his ultimate sacrifice and love ultimately is the one that just magnetically has drawn people, not just then, but through the centuries. Okay, here's the first principle that you want to catch. Can you see that many people want to gather together around Jesus? We keep hearing, you know, reports, the church attendance around the United States is way down. People aren't going to church anymore. There's this massive de-churching. And that may be true in some respects. Doesn't happen to be true here at Valley Church. We're seeing more people than ever. But here's the thing. If people really meet the real, authentic Jesus, not some version of Jesus, not some weird, watered-down version of Jesus, or some inauthentic version of Jesus, or some politicized version of Jesus, or some just not Jesus. If they actually know and meet the real Jesus, or they can even have a taste of heaven that Jesus offers, he just draws people to himself. This has happened for centuries in all places and nations. People want to gather together. They want to come together in places and spaces to meet Jesus, to hear the word about Jesus. And we're praying for that, and we're seeing that happen in our midst, this awakening to Jesus, this renewal. We're seeing people come to Valley Church who are not even believers in Jesus yet, but they're like, we want to hear about Jesus. We want to hear about this gospel. We want to know more about this. It used to be that the pattern was typically people believe in Jesus, and then they join the church. Now people, they come to church, they gather together to belong before they believe. Used to believe, you believe and then you belong, but now people want to see authentic community. They want to see and check it out. And then as they have those times to process this and to build community and have those relationships, then they say, okay, I'm in. I believe in this gospel. And this is why this what we're doing here in this Make Room initiative is so incredibly important. We're seeing this renewal and this awakening. We're praying for revival to come. We're praying for many people to come to faith in Jesus. Because ultimately, this what brings what we desire to see in our own lives and the lives of other people. So we've been talking about Make Room. We're making spaces and places for people to meet God. Look at some of these renderings. It's just expanding the room. There's so many people coming that we need to make the room bigger. We're actually changing the physical space so that more people can connect. And not just The things we're gaining, sure, there's worship seats, there's more parking, there's mid-sized gathering places, there's expansion of children's ministries, there's more worship venues, there's expansion of children's ministries, there's renovation of those spaces. All of those things are happening, but it's not really about the brick and mortar. It's what happens in those places that matters. It's the gains that come spiritually from that. So, guys, one of the things I've been saying, and I want to reiterate, is that the goal of Make Room for God to move, to be the family, to grow the family, is not just to grow bigger, it's actually to grow smaller. And by that means, I mean having places where people can connect in relationships. In many places, there's crowds of people. They're standing. We don't have any space in our atrium. People are standing around. There's no room to sit and have a conversation. And so we want to open up those spaces. We want to have places for children, for students, and for adults to be able to gather together. This is about what we're talking about, growing smaller. It's those places where people can connect more relationally. We need that. Our culture and even our community has a crisis of loneliness. This is well documented. Sociologists, people have said, you know, mental health issues are all time high. People are feeling more disconnected than ever, even though there's ultimate electronic and social media connectivity, they don't feel connected to people. And we have sensed just through prayer and through your feedback and encouragement and through all the things of conversations we've had, this longing for deeper relational connection. So let me use my hand here. Why are we prioritizing these relationship building spaces so much in this Make Room initiative? These mid-sized gathering places, these student ministries places, these children's spaces, why are we prioritizing them so much? Because they build relationships. So the need has never been greater. There's a loneliness epidemic. This is not okay. The gospel can redeem this. People need relationships, and being family, being the family to one another, is essential to the Christian faith. It's not just a nice bonus, it's essential to that. And we do that in our life groups, and we do that casually as we come together. But here's the thing, guys, we don't want to just grow bigger, we want to grow smaller too. So here, I'm going to use my hands here. So imagine, they've told us it takes many hours, dozens of hours, we'll just say 50 hours, for people to become friends. And to feel connected deeply as friends. And if there's really deep relationships, it takes four times that much. So nobody is going to sense that deep connection walking in and out of the building. And it's not even going to be a three-minute sidebar conversation. We're trying to create spaces where people can have more lengthy conversations. We've seen this in a small way in our in our breakfast time at 8:15, where we're providing breakfast, and people are meeting friends, they're having deeper conversations, because it's not a two-minute pass in the hallway or a 30-second hello, it's a conversation. They're getting to know people. And when you do that week after week after week, it adds up. But we want to have more spaces like that where we're not just, you know, a small number, but a large number of people can do that, where hundreds and even thousands of people can do that on a weekly basis. So it all adds up, guys. So if this represents where we are right now, we want to add, this is like an hour. We want to add this and 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 this. So we keep piling. So there's multiple opportunities for those long conversations to happen, where there's a time to have a cup of coffee after a worship gathering, where there's time to linger and say, can we just grab this? Where there's time for the pastors to sit down with somebody and say, hey, could you just take 10 minutes to have a conversation? Where friends can say, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. Can we just pause? And there's actually a space to do that. And it's not just on Sunday mornings. Oh, that's we call those as golden minutes. I mean, they're like so prioritized, they're so important. And if we could just multiply those like times 20 or 30 or 40, which we can do through your generosity, through this Make Room initiative, it would just be absolutely amazing. And you could enjoy a lunch together on the patio or in the courtyard after church, where there can be a stop by the gathering and you can say, hey, let's get our kids to know one another. Where there's spaces in our children's area for you to sit down and have a little conversation. That's what we're talking about here, where there's a playground conversation while the kids play together, where there's a small group meeting in a new mid-sized space, whether it's here or at the community center, where there's actual room to do that. We're just so pumped for that. It's not the spaces that are important in themselves, it's what happens in those spaces multiplied many times over, times thousands of people who gather at Valley Church. The quantity of what can happen in those quality times is just incredibly impactful. People need time to build relationships, and we're creating space for that time to happen. That's what Make Room is about. For God to move, to be family, to have connections, and to grow the family so that more people can experience connectivity and relationships. And that's where they were coming together in Jesus' day. This time spent in discussing important matters mattered. It really, really matters. And so here's what was happening in these days, in Jesus' day. They were gathering together, and together, look at back at gospel, so many people gathered together, there was no more room. So they were gathering together. It was not just me and Jesus. He had a lot of those personal conversations, but it was a community experience. Talking about life, talking about what Jesus could do. That's what we want. Just then some men came, carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. So they're bringing in a guy on a mat. We learn he was on a stretcher of sorts, and he's paralyzed. He's been paralyzed, and he's been like this for a long time. And they tried to get him to Jesus. They're like, we know Jesus has the power to heal. And we just so desperately want to get our friend to Jesus. And my question for you today is, what if everyone could make room for the one more? What if every one of us in our hearts and minds could just say, you know, there's one friend out there who really needs to meet Jesus. There's one friend that I would love to be able to connect somehow to Jesus. Now we know, listen to me, we know that Jesus is not physically present, but we also know that we are called the body of Christ, of which he is the head. So we are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. And if we can get people vitally connected to the body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head, the Spirit of Jesus is within every one of us who knows Jesus. If we can connect people together, if you could just say, what if I just had some passion behind getting just one more people? What if every one of us had that room for just one more? We talk about one life that God's brought into your path. What if all of us said, you know, there's just one more I need. I'll do what I can to get them to Jesus. And that looks a lot of different ways, but a lot of it is about having a cup of coffee, inviting them to a gathering, just making space for them to do that. And maybe it's somebody who's already here at Valley Church and you're like, I'm not sure where they are spiritually. Maybe it's your own children or somebody you're working with in student ministries. I don't know what it is, but you're like, I just want to make room for one more. What if we said that that was important? And here at Valley Church, this ministry expansion is about that one more. Guys, I want to be honest with you. You know, when I started pastoring, I was a pastor of a church of 11 people. When I came here to Valley, there were 40 people. Started with three couples. There were 40 people when we arrived in those early months. And I never dreamed or thought, you know, I would love to see 6,000 people come to Valley Church like they did over the Easter weekend. It never entered my mind. Never was a goal. Never was a prayer. It was always just, let's make room for one more. One more. One more. And one at a time, one household at a time, one family at a time, one person at a time, they kept coming. And now it's thousands. And we want to make room for more. Not just because we want to grow bigger, but because we want to grow smaller. We want more people to be able to connect in community, become friends, become family. Be family and grow the family. Not grow the numbers, grow the family of God. So more people connect with Jesus. This is about the next generation, guys. I praise God that over the last 4 years, since, you know, before the pandemic, Valley Church has grown considerably and has actually grown younger. We're a younger congregation than we were 4 years ago, which is astounding. We see more young people, more children, more students than we've ever seen before. And so a lot of our ministry expansion is focused on those next generations. It is about mid-sized gathering places for adults, but it's also about renovating and creating spaces for children and students. Because that is where it's at, guys, and that's our future. So look down the road 15, 20 years to what you're doing today. You're making room today so that 20 years from now there'll be incredible stories of life change and that we faithfully hand this off to the next generation. We also want to make room for people who are disabled. I mean, this passage is all about a guy who was paralyzed. And we want to help people. One of the signature ministries of Valley Church is about disability. We're making room to make our facilities more accessible, to make our ministry more accessible. And that's part of this ministry expansion, to make it more accessible. And then just creating places where people can gather to hear the word of God like they did on this day in Capernaum 2,000 years ago. So people can find a worship venue, find a seat, and find those places around the facilities, both here and at the community center, where they can connect with God, make room for God to move, to be family, and to grow the family. This weekend at Valley Church, you're going to see a bunch of kids wearing these construction hats, and they all say, make room for one more. Make room for one more. And that's what we're doing here. We're just making room for one more. Who is that one more in your life that this could be about? Maybe it's somebody you've been praying for. Maybe it's somebody you've been praying for and you won't be the one to invite them, but somebody else will. That's what happened in my life with a lot of people I prayed for. I've seen some incredible great things happen as you just bring this to prayer and say, I want to make room for one more in my life. And we do that through our prayers, through our service, through our passion, and through our generosity. Let's make room. The want to is way more important than the how to. I've said this over and over again. Love will find a way. Indifference will find an excuse. Do you have a passion to say, let's make room for one more? Just a reminder also, I've said a lot about our Make Room initiative in terms of our campus, but just a reminder, and we covered this last week, and if you missed it, please, I beg of you, go back. It's 10 minutes where we talk about two incredibly important compassionate initiatives. One of them that we're partnering with, launching to the next level, is Change Course, which is an incredible vocational job training, gospel-centered movement that God has launched that we partnered with longtime members of our church to create opportunities for people who maybe have hit some bumps in the road, maybe are at risk, maybe they're just closed doors for them, and we're giving them job training and opportunities, and we're partnering with Change Course to see that happen. It's a huge ministry. Please go back and see it. And the second one is Thrive, which is helping vulnerable children and families thrive. If you missed the story last weekend, tremendous, incredible story of God moving through through coming around people that are in foster care, foster children, adoptive families, helping families that are longing to keep their biological children, all sorts of support around families like that. This is a brand new ministry we're launching. We're so excited that this is part of our Make Room, those two important compassion ministries. Because as we see here in this passage and the life of Jesus over and over and over again, it's always leading with compassion. And that's a huge part of what we're doing, this Make Room initiative. So your generosity will help to help those to flourish and really launch in a significant new way here at Valley Church. Let's do this, Valley. Let's do this together. Let's make room together. Keep going. Verse 19. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, been there, and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles, the roof tiles, into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. I mean, guys, this is crazy. This is not business as usual. This is taking extraordinary, bold action and just basically saying, we will rip holes in the roof. Are you willing? Here's the question. Are you willing to rip holes in the roof to get people, one more person to Jesus? That's really what this is about, this whole Make Room initiative. Are we willing to rip holes in the roof? On this day in history, this passage is the one that most aligns with our current ministry expansion initiative. Because on this day in history, in Capernaum, in a house, the house of the Lord... Yes, it was the Lord's house that day. He was at home, it says. In the house of the Lord, they were literally making spiritual moves in a physical space. They were literally altering the physical building by ripping a hole in the roof in order to bring a friend closer to Jesus. This is the importance of actually altering physical spaces sometimes so that we can make more room for people to come to Jesus. That's what we're talking about in this very passage. Whatever the barrier is, if it's physical spaces, then we tear down we rip a hole in the roof. If there's a mental, if there's an attitudinal barrier, whatever it is, if it's a friendship barrier, whatever the barrier it is, and this week I urge you as a life group to take your Make Room guidebook, and there's a special page there for you to list out what are the things that are the barriers that are keeping me from Jesus. What's holding me back from wholeheartedly knowing and following Jesus? Write it down. And what's keeping me or my friend from knowing Jesus, meeting Jesus? Whatever those are, write down those barriers and then take them and rip them up. Rip a hole in the roof to do away with that barrier. And Valley Church, the Make Room Initiative is actually about physically altering the space, just like they did 2,000 years ago, in order to get people to Jesus. That's what this is about. And it says in Mark's gospel, since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. So they had flat roofs in these days. It's not a pitched roof, it's a flat roof. And they were mud and thatch and straw, and it's compacted together. And they literally, it says they were digging through it. They were literally with their hands removing this and digging through it, creating a hole in the roof. They lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. So the question I have for you today is, are you ready to be courageous and generous to make room? Because when they did this, I mean, it's not their house. They're ripping a hole in someone else's house. I mean, the Lord's staying there, but I don't know whose house it was. But they're like, okay, whatever, it doesn't matter. We may have to pay for this repair, this renovation, if you will, but we'll do whatever it takes. We're courageous, and we're like, nothing's going to stop us. We're going to get this guy to Jesus, whatever it takes. And if it means blowing down these walls, which we are physically going to do, if it means we have to wipe out this wall and create this entrance and make this more accessible and create a new worship venue and create a place for student ministries, then let's do it. But it's going to take our courage to take those bold steps, and it's going to take generosity to do it. It's not going to happen. As I said last week, the harvest is abundant, the workers are few, the corn's not going to pick itself. We have to get involved. Nobody can sit this out. So are you willing to be courageous and generous? How badly do you want this person to be found? That's the question. How badly do you want them to meet Jesus? So just very quickly now, hopefully every single one of you this week received in your physical mailbox, your inbox, an actual pamphlet. It looks like this. It's very thin, easy to go through. But I want to implore you and just ask you from my heart, if you consider Valley Church your home, would you take this with your household and just prayerfully go through it together? And take the time. It's not going to take a long time. Take some prayer time with it, read through it, and then walk through it. There's some incredible stuff in here. Just to, if you weren't here last weekend, just to hit the high points, there's a letter from that explaining what we're doing here at Valley Church. What would it look like to make room? We talk about that. Making room for God to move, to be family, to grow the family. We've talked about that. And then just some scriptural teaching on this. Keep going. A lot of people, life is fuller when we trust Him. Most people, their generosity is not limited. I don't think it's really greed. I think what really takes over there is fear. It's like, if I'm that generous, is something bad going to happen to me? Am I not going to have enough? And we're going to learn through the scriptures that God is enough, and He will graciously meet your needs. You can't outgive God. And then keep going, discerning your role, each one of us personally. It's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. Every single one of us stepping up in a bold way. And we're asking you to prioritize Valley Church. You have a lot of charitable giving. We love that. You prioritize other things that you do, and you support missionaries. And I'm sure that you have a lot of charitable giving. But what we're asking, we're coming here once in the last 12 years to say, could you put Valley Church on the very top of your generosity list and say, this is a bold initiative that I'm going to take, and I'm going to go just an extra deep dive into generosity for this special moment in the history of Valley Church. Three questions. What can I reasonably give? You know, like this would work in our budget. It's a stretch, but it would work. Second question, what would I be willing to sacrifice? We give a great exercise there where you walk through that and learn, you know, what could we do without that over time, over a four-year period of time, would make a tremendous and significant difference. And then the third question is, what can I give through greater reliance on God? In other words, we name, you know, I really believe God, and you pray about this, and it's going to be different for different people. For some people, it's going to be, you know, this amount of money. For some people, it's going to be 20 times that amount. But whatever that is, you say, if I really believe, and I think God is leading us to give this, we're going to be looking for Him to provide that. And so when that unexpected refund comes, or when that that gift comes that you weren't expecting, you already have eyes to see it. And He says, okay, this is what God, when we prayed for this, God showed up and met that need. And there are some incredible stories that you can see happening in that. So keep going. Putting it all together, you kind of do your math on that, add it all up, and then you come together on Commitment Sunday, which is 2 weeks from this weekend, Sunday, September 28th, where we'll all come together with our commitment cards, and we'll give those to the Lord and say, this is our commitment, our four-year above and beyond commitment to do so. So together we can achieve the vision. There's varying levels. There's going to be all sorts of, and it's going to take all of us at different levels to do this. But please prayerfully take the time to go through this. And don't be afraid. God is with you. If you'll make room, I know that this is going to be an incredibly special moment. We've heard stories of that over the last 33 years, how God has blessed the generosity and the courage and the sacrifice of people. So take your giving guide and use that prayerfully. And on Sunday, April 28th, come together and we'll see what God does. If you're not able to be here on Sunday, April 28th, I would just ask you to do whatever you can to get that to us before that Sunday so that we can have that all on that day to be able to know and see God's work among us, to see God do special things. This is an important one, guys. I really, from my heart, this is an important moment in the life of our church. This is a spiritual moment. And what we do here as a church in the next couple of weeks, and then over the next 4 years, is going to have a generational impact. It's going to change the course, I believe, of thousands of people's lives. Your life, but also countless other thousands that you've never met. Just like those people 34 years ago, the three couples. Now it's thousands and thousands of people. He multiplied that. And what you're going to do is going to have a generational impact. So please be prayerful about this. You know, this past week, the awesome Ruth and I went to Pella, and I took a picture of the awesome Ruth there at the Tulip area there in Pella. And you know, as we were just reflected on that, you know, and Ruth's on this 5-year journey with bone cancer. A lot of people have asked us, what can we do for you? And, you know, you guys have been incredible. Thank you for your incredible encouragement, your prayer support, your kindness, the rides, and all those things that you've done for us. And we cannot express how much that has meant to us. But ultimately, the thing that would most thrill our hearts, I sincerely mean this, the thing that would most thrill our hearts, and I'm speaking for Ruth today as well, is that for you to generously go above and beyond and just, let's just rip holes in the roof and do something absolutely amazing in a couple of weeks. That would just bring so much incredible blessing and joy to see God work in our midst, because this is what our life's work's been, guys. I mean, 33 years, it's well over half our lives have been spent to this. And most of our adult life has been spent here. So guys, I just ask you to prioritize this and make this a special moment in the life of our church that's going to impact for decades to come. Verse 20, seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. So they got him to Jesus. And then he speaks this spiritual word to him. Not hey, you're healed, but he says, your sins are forgiven. Because that's the ultimate need. See, the healings that Jesus did ultimately pointed forward to something really significant and special. And here's the question. Your step of faith, how can your step of faith that you're making, like those friends made, they're like digging holes in the roof, we're going to rip holes in the roof, we're going to get them with Jesus, whatever it takes, and they believe that Jesus could do something, that what they did by ripping holes in the roof, making those extraordinary steps, was going to actually make a difference in their lives, in this guy's life. And it actually led to this incredible spiritual breakthrough for him. It says, seeing their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. Because they brought him to Jesus. He said, wow, you can experience forgiveness. That's the deepest prayer. It's about one person's life being changed and transformed. And you can be a part of that. As you take a step of faith in this journey, you can be a part of that. I want you to check out the kind of the end of this passage in this incredible clip from The Chosen, as Jesus takes this moment to not just forgive his sins, but to heal him as well. Check it out.
Son, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right. But I ask you, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? It's easy to say anything, no? But to show you, and so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, my son, rise. Pick up your bed and go home.
Guys, can you imagine the joy in that moment? He took on the Pharisees and says, you don't have the authority to do that. He said, watch me. He says, which is easier? Look at verse 22. Perceiving their thoughts. Why are you thinking this in your hearts that I can't forgive sins? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man, which is a messianic title from the book of Daniel, has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your stretcher, and go home. And immediately he got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Can you imagine to be there at that moment? The joy that filled that place, the rush of adrenaline to see the incredible life transformation that happened to this man. Not only were his sins forgiven, but he was given this ability. He says, which is easier? I can do both. I have the authority to forgive sins. Which, guys, is greater than physical healing. It's great to be able to walk again. But what's even greater through the cross of Jesus Christ is to have your sins forgiven forever. Because then you can walk for eternity with Jesus. That's amazing. There was so much joy in that place. It was electric. It was absolutely amazing. Then everyone was astounded and they were giving glory to God. They were absolutely blown away. And they were filled with awe. God's shown up. Something's happened here today. And what did they say? We have seen incredible things today. Incredible things today. Mark's gospel. We've never seen anything like this in our lives. Guys, here's the question. Are you willing to do something you've never tried to see something you've never seen? Whatever ripping hole in the roof needs to happen in your life, in terms of prayer, in terms of trusting God, in terms of sacrifice, in terms of generosity, in terms of inviting people, in terms of bringing people to the body of Christ, where people are gathered together, like this moment, something that you're scared to do maybe, a step of faith. Are you willing to do something you've never tried to see something you've never seen? So what I'm asking you is to prayer in these days. These are great days in the gospel in Des Moines, Iowa. Are you willing to say, I'm willing to go the extra mile. I'm willing to try something. Because here's the truth. If you've done what you've always done, then you'll get what you've always got. You'll never see the breakthroughs. But you could see incredible breakthroughs if you're willing to say, I'm going to rip holes in the roof. whatever stands in the way of me coming closer to Jesus, whatever stands in the way for this, my friend or my family member to come to Jesus, whatever it takes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to rip holes in the roof to get one more to Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for this incredible true story from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oh God, we pray that you would stir in every heart here that hears this message, watches this message, experiences this message, that they will be drawn closer to you and that they will take the bold, extraordinary steps over the next several days to do something amazing, to see you do amazing things and to bring that one more at a time, and to have that multiplied times thousands would be just absolutely astounding. And we would say, like the people of God said 2,000 years ago, we've never seen anything like it. The Lord has done incredible things here today. That's our prayer. And everybody agreed and said, amen and amen. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us. Can't wait to see you again.